Hello, everyone, and welcome to Retro Reminisce, the podcast that basks in the golden age of gaming by delivering a weekly dose of old-school nostalgia. This is episode 23, and this week we're going to be reviewing Nintendo's micro console, the NES Classic Edition. Already becoming one of the hottest items this holiday season, this miniature nostalgia trip into the mid-80s is quite a rare find. We'll take a look at the console itself, the selection of games, and its palm-sized console to see if it's worth fighting all those raging holiday shoppers over this holiday season. Before we get started, don't forget to head on over to thegamingoutsider.com and check out our video game podcasts, our articles, our subscribe links, and our social media links as well. Feedback is greatly appreciated, so please use our email links to let us know how we're doing. Also, subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn, and more. Last week, we released episode 22, and that was all about Bubsy for the SNES and the Genesis, so check that out if you have not. I'm your host, Josh Faulkner. I'm here with my co-host, as always, Justin Wilson. Justin, how was your Thanksgiving, man?
Oh, not too bad. Very, very eventful around the in-laws.
Yeah, same here, man. It was pretty low-key. Nothing fancy. Did you go out for any Black Friday shopping at all?
Nope. My wife actually gets paid on Cyber Monday, so I'm going to run and pick up her paycheck and deposit it so we can do their Cyber Monday shopping. I spent the past week building a Christmas list for everybody.
Oh, cool. Cyber Monday has always been kind of not as good as Black Friday. They seem like the sales aren't quite as good. I'm hoping this year we'll get something different and they'll actually be better sales, or at least equal to Black Friday. But I can never find anything I want on Cyber Monday. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes this Monday. But the only thing I did is I picked up a toy for my son's birthday at Toys R Us, which it was a Black Friday doorbuster, and I walked in there Saturday afternoon and picked it up no problem for the same price. So I don't know why anyone would fight over all those people on Thursday night when I just walked in on a Saturday and got a no problem for the same price. So
my brother-in-law saw a sweet deal. He got like, I want to say, 500 and something gig solid state drive for pretty dang cheap.
Wow, I could use one of those. I still have 120 gig in mine that my OS is off of, and it fills up fast. So
yeah, I need one.
Not ideal, but I have a platter hard drive, a terabyte one for my PC games, but I'd like to have that on SSD. But other than that, man, I got some digital games. I picked up the new Hitman game, like the starter pack for it, for half off, because that's one of the games I really wanted to check out for our annual like game of the year conversation we have on the Gaming Outsider every year. And I was told that's one I need to play before that discussion happens. So I did pick that up, and I'll be playing that probably tonight and talking about on the Gaming Outsider next week. So
I'm a big fan of the Hitman series, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, this one's supposed to be the return to form. So it's on Steam also for their big Black Friday sale. They have it 50% off there too. So it's cool stuff. All right. So we're actually going to review a new product this week, but it's still retro, so don't worry about it. Yes, new. this is the NES Classic Edition. This is a miniature Nintendo that just released. It came out on November 11th of this year, and they're really hard to find. you can't find them on store shelves anywhere. It released on that Friday. People went nuts over it. They were standing in line for this thing, and Nintendo just shipped very, very small numbers, and they sold like crazy. They flew off the shelves. Now,
well, and they didn't put a buy limit like they did like with the Nuka-Cola Quantum when that came out. Yeah. So I mean, one person could go in and buy all of them off the shelf if they wanted to. And I hate when they do that. They should always add a limit to something they haven't made many of.
Yeah. Now, when I worked at Target, we actually did impose limits on anything that was a hot item. So some stores, I'm assuming, are probably enforcing their own buying limits, but some stores like Walmart probably doesn't. They're like, whatever, I just want to sell them. Come buy them all, dude, scalper, you know? And that's what this thing is. This thing's scalper fodder right now. People are buying them up. They're selling them on eBay for quadruple the price that it's worth. And it's just ridiculous. People want this thing, and they can't get a hold of it. Now, Justin, I'm going to ask you this question. Did you actually think this thing was going to sell so well?
I didn't. Now, just like you, I've worked in retail before, and we used to get in like the Ataris that had, you know, like 1,000 games on them and all them cheap consoles. And I always buy into them because, you know, I'm an idiot and they've always been trash. Like they just, it's never, even the Sega Genesis one I've heard isn't the greatest.
Yeah. The Sega Genesis one, they have a really bad sound chip that doesn't emulate the audio like it should. So all the music and the sound effects don't sound right. The games aren't emulated well. It's not good at all. It's a completely different story with this thing. This thing was actually developed by Nintendo themselves, so it's pretty cool. But this little console is about the quarter of a size of the original NES, and even thinner than that, too. The thing, whole thing is, if you compare it to an actual NES cartridge, it's about the same size, just a little thicker.
It looks like a toy.
It does, and it feels like a toy. It's really light like a toy. I mean, this thing's, I mean, it's essentially like a Raspberry Pi in a box. And it looks exactly like an NES. It even has a little reset and power buttons that work. You can't open it up and put like tiny cartridges or anything like that in it. All the games are preloaded onto it. And in the box, you get a USB cable, you get a HDMI cable, and you get one NES controller, and that's it. Now, let's talk about the ease of hooking this thing up, because unlike a normal NES that you would get from the 80s, this thing is actually super, super simple to hook up. You just plug your USB cable into the back. It's a micro USB. If you have a USB port on your TV, which most of them have those service USB ports for like calibrating them and everything, that thing will actually power this whole NES itself to where you don't even need to plug it into a wall. But if your TV doesn't have that, which is probably going to be very unlikely because most of them do, it does come with a wall adapter as well where you can plug it right into your wall. And then you hook up an HDMI cable, it goes right into the TV, you plug your controller in, boom, you're ready to go. You power it on, pops up with a menu, that's it, you're ready to go.
Now, what I loved about the hookup was there's no heavy plugs like it used to be. Like, it was that one big brick you plugged into the wall, yeah, and you couldn't plug anything else into it. And, man, the cord would just crap out on you so often. You'd have to angle it just right and hope no one bumped the cord when they walked by. It was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But with the thin cords on this one, and they felt pretty well made too. They don't feel like they're made to last for cords, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing I always hate about the original NES is the RF adapter that they had. Now, nowadays, I mean, you can hook up AV cables to them and stuff. They had the ports on the side, but when I was a kid, we didn't have a TV that supported those, so I had the RF adapter, and you always have to screw the little thing on the coaxial screw on the back, and if you move the Nintendo, you got to stick your hand behind the TV, you're trying to screw that thing off right and pop it off, and then you're trying to get it on there right to screw it back on. It's a pain in the ass. So if you want to play some classic NES games and you don't want to mess with that old NES at all, this is actually a really good product to buy. It retails at $60. I say that retail at $60 because that's what people aren't paying for right now, but yeah, so it's really inexpensive. And if you think about it, if Nintendo would have released like an NES Classics compilation disc for like the Wii U or something like that, it would have probably cost $60 anyways. So you're getting a little micro console and a controller, and it has the authentic experience, but you're paying that same price as you would for a disc anyway. So I think the value is really good for this. Do you think it is too?
Oh, yeah. I think they need to extend the length of the controller cable.
Yes.
But other than that, I think it just feels like playing a Nintendo. It feels great.
Yeah, so let's talk about that NES controller. So it does come with one controller. You can buy extras for $10 a piece, but they're extremely hard to find, just like the system. So good luck with that. The good thing is the controller ports on this thing, it has two, just like the original NES. But the controller ports are the same ports from the bottom of the Wii U remotes. So if you have a Wii Classic controller, it actually plugs right into this system, and you can use that as well, which is great. So for that reason alone, I didn't really have to try to seek another NES controller out because I already had a Wii Classic controller, and it works just fine.
With that Wii Classic controller, what I liked about it was you didn't have to fumble with the reset button. You can actually hit the home button on the controller, and it'll bring you to the regular screen. If you're using the Classic NES controller, you have to hit the reset button to go back to the menu, and the buttons are kind of small, and you know, I got some pretty chubby fingers, so I would be worried about accidentally pressing the power button.
Yeah,
which isn't too big of a deal because it has save state, but still, you know, frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, the buttons are so small on this thing that your toddler daughter always even have trouble pressing these things, so when she tried to get a hold of it when we were playing with it. So yeah, I mean, that's how small the buttons are. And every time when you turn it on, it goes right to this menu. And they list from left to right all the different games. You just kind of cycle through them. There's some options at the top of the screen. Like, there's some video options. So you can play it in 4:3 aspect ratio like you would on a standard TV. they actually have the scan lines that you can add into it too. And they don't just add scan lines, they actually add sort of a blur to it that makes it feel like you're playing on an actual CRT old school standard definition TV. And I know you like this, right?
Yeah, I thought it was fun just because the blur always kind of added a level of difficulty. Like when I was growing up, I had a massive, huge 12-inch TV to play on. So games like Mario, where your characters kind of have that after slide after you stop pressing the over button, the difficulty increased exponentially because it's blurry, it's a tiny TV. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of always added a nostalgic challenge for me that I enjoy.
Yeah, so a lot of emulators, they have an option to add scan lines, and they just emulate scan lines with this HD picture quality. This thing actually downgrades the picture quality a little bit to look like a CRT TV, and I thought that was interesting too. I actually prefer not to have that on there, but if you're a purist and you want to play these like you were in a kid in your pajamas sitting on the floor, then that's the way to go. And it's cool that they included it for people like that. You know, it's a cool little gimmick they threw in here. They also have a mode called Pixel Perfect mode, and some of you with the new Nintendo 3DSs may find this familiar, but they actually use this on the Super Nintendo Virtual Console games on that, where they present the games in the original aspect ratio that they were developed for. So when we were actually playing these games as kids on a 4:3 resolution of aspect ratio TV, these games would actually display stretched out a bit, and that's not how they were actually developed. You can actually play it in pixel perfect mode on this NES Classic Edition, to where it just adds bigger black bars to the sides of the screen, but you're getting the exact aspect ratio and there's no stretching at all. And it makes the games look really nice that way, even though you get less of a picture, but you're getting the correct. It's sort of like if you're thinking about full screen movies compared to widescreen movies back in the DVD era. You know, like there's no stretching, there's no, you know, nothing missing. You're getting the whole picture and you're getting it as it was intended and as it was developed. And that's a great extra too.
And some of those games were very obvious that they weren't too proportioned. Mm-hmm. Like your character would be wider than he is tall. Or, you know, you can just see the super stretched outness of the characters. One example of a game, Battletoads, those guys were super stretched out. yeah. So, it'd be really cool to see a game like that. And that one's not on here, but it'd be cool to see a game like that with the characters actually looking the way they're supposed to look.
Yeah, and if you play Pixel Perfect mode, the Mario games, Mario looks a lot less chubby than you remember him, because he's in this thinner aspect ratio, where that was how the game was developed. So it's a cool add-on. You know, it's cool if you want to play him that way, if you want to, you know, see him as they were designed. But most people will probably just play the standard 4:3 mode. Now, these games are probably the best I've seen them look outside of using a high-end PC emulator. Like, these games look great. I mean, like, the pixels were clean. Everything looked high def. It was great looking.
The lower quality background images, like, say, on the earlier Marios, they almost looked like MS Paint because the pixels were so clear and lined. Like, you really couldn't see that back then. Yeah. So it was almost like seeing it in a different light.
Yeah, totally. And there's some other options in here as well. Like, there's like a power saving mode where if you don't touch it for a while, it'll power itself off. There's also a mode where it'll go through an endless demo loop where it'll just kind of play demos of the games that are on the NES Classic. So you can kind of use it as a screensaver for your TV in the background. Now, in my office room here in my house behind me, I have a 32-inch 1080p TV mounted to my wall, and I actually had this guy plugged into it. And as I was just kind of messing around on the computer or doing whatever, I just had the demos looping. It was just sort of like a screensaver. And it's kind of cool because you walk into this room and it's all decorated in video game stuff. And I had these demos of these NES games playing. I thought that was kind of cool for someone with a game room like that. They can kind of use it as like a display thing, just kind of spruce up your room and have some games playing in the background. It's kind of neat.
Did it play all the audio and everything too?
Some of it. Like some of the demos would cut the music out, but it had the sound effects. Other ones would have like all the music and the sound effects. It just depends on the game demo.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all different. It's pretty cool add-on on there as well. Now this game, this console, they also added save states to it as well, which with an emulator, that's a big staple. You know, even virtual console games on Nintendo consoles had that as well. So you can actually save your progress in all these games, even though they didn't originally give you an option to. but you have to hit that reset button constantly in order to do it. So you have to lean over, hit your little reset button to take you back to the main menu. You have to hit down on the D-pad, and each game has 4 save slots where you can save your progress. And you can just go back there and pop it right back up and continue where you left off. Really, really great feature for some of these really hard games like Ghouls and Ghosts and stuff like that that are on here that are near impossible to play. It makes it a little easier. It also is great for something like Mega Man 2 to save your progress as you're going through, because that game's pretty difficult also. But yeah, just having to constantly lean over and hit that reset button is kind of a problem. But that's where the Wii Classic controller comes in. You can actually use the home button on that to bring up the menu back and forth, and it made it a little easier as well. But that doesn't come packed in here, so that's kind of an extra you have to buy if you want that functionality.
No, what I noticed with the with the save state is it's kind of a little too easy to overwrite the wrong file. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't pop up with a window that says, are you sure you would like to overwrite this file?
Yeah.
It's just straight overwritten. So be careful when you're saving state that you don't accidentally save over someone else's game or, you know, over an old game you wanted to keep.
Yeah, there was one more, and I'm assuming they do that just to make the speed of it faster, just to kind of go in and out, you know. But there was one moment where you and I were playing, I don't know what game it was, and maybe it was Mario 3, because we sat down and we played a bunch of Mario 3 yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember that you went and tried to use the save state and tried to save it, and you actually brought up the previous one, and we lost all of our progress. So
we made it all the way to World 7, too, so we were right there at the end. Yeah, it was pretty salty, but at least I know where the whistles are, so if I want to go back.
Yeah, totally. So that's what you have to be careful with as well. So how did you feel, how authentic did you feel the controller was? Did you think it felt like an actual real NES controller, or was there any differences to you at all?
You know, the irony of the system, or the controller having such a short cord, is it gives it kind of an even more authentic feeling, because you're almost forced to sit on the floor. And, you know, I mean, I can't count how many times I can remember me sitting on the floor like 5 inches away from the screen playing. So it kind of made it feel even more authentic. But at the same time, the shortness was annoying. But it felt authentic all around, minus the graphics, obviously, because they're updated. The system itself, it's very much a Nintendo product and not like a Mad Catz brand or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's quality to it. It feels like it's well built. They put the time into it to make this good. You know, it's not half-assed at all. So it's great in that respect. But yeah, I can see what you're saying, because you and I were sitting on the floor playing this thing. Now, luckily, you had a really long HDMI cable, and we used a really long USB cable as well, because you can plug any micro USB cable into this to power it. And I brought a really long one over with me. So we were able to set it in front of us pretty well. And the NES Classic, I'm sorry, the Wii U, not the Wii, just the Wii Classic controller that I was using as well has about the same length of a cable. So if you're wanting to pick one of these up and you're trying to determine how long the cable is, if you have one of those Wii Classic controllers, just kind of hold that up and stretch it out. It's about the same length. But yeah, we had to have this thing sitting right in front of us. And but yeah, I mean, if you have long enough cables that, you know, if you don't use the ones inside of the box, it's not that big of a deal. But if you want to sit farther away, then that's obviously a problem, because this cable is really, really, really short. We're talking like 2 feet and that's it. Now, would you have paid maybe $100 for this thing if they would have thrown in like a wireless controller?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely, if they had a wireless controller, because you know the setup of my living room. I actually have a decent amount of space and a pretty decent sized TV to play games on.
Yeah.
So to be able to sit back and relax and play, I feel like I would probably play it more often if it was wireless.
Yeah, and I don't know if they were just trying to go for authenticity with this thing, but I feel like that was kind of something they missed with this, you know, and we'll go to a couple other things that they missed that was a huge miss with this as well.
But yeah, Bluetooth is pretty small, you know, it's incorporated cheap in everything these days. Yeah, it's cheap. They could have easily thrown a Bluetooth connect in there.
I'm just wondering if they didn't do it for latency issues, like they were worried about, you know, like a small latency or something with some of these games that
is
very pixel perfect in their jumps and stuff like that, you know. So that could be why they did that as well. I don't know, but it would have been really nice to have a wireless controller there. All right, so let's talk about the games themselves. Now, this thing is preloaded with 30 games, so that's a lot for $60, and you get hardware and a controller as well and all the hookups. You can't buy any more games for it, though, so there's no digital distribution store or anything like that. You get what you get on the console, and that's it. So the game comes with, or the, I keep saying the game, the console comes with Bubble Bobble, Castlevania 1 and 2, Simon's Quest, which I love Simon's Quest, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Double Dragon 2, Dr. Mario, Excitebike, Final Fantasy, Galaga, Ghosts and Ghouls and Ghosts, or Ghosts and Goblins, I think. Yeah, Ghosts and Goblins was the one. I always mix those up. Gradius, Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure, the arcade Mario Brothers, Mega Man 2, Metroid, Ninja Gaiden, Pac-Man, Punch-Out, the Mr. Dream version, not the Mike Tyson one, the original Star Tropics, Super C, the first three Mario games, Tecmo Bowl, and both original NES Zelda games, 1 and 2. So they pretty much hit most of the classics, I would think, right here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And they even threw in some ones, like, for example, Donkey Kong Jr., that I never played it, and I've never met anyone that ever mentioned that game existing, personally at least. It seems very obscure, but it's kind of cool to see the roots of Donkey Kong and all that.
Yeah, it's kind of reversed role in this one. Like, Mario's the one throwing the barrels, and Donkey Kong has been captured, and Donkey Kong Jr. is trying to save Donkey Kong. So I actually played that one a lot as a kid, and I liked it a lot. Now, what are your favorites in this collection?
That's a rather long list. Obviously, the first three Marios, Ninja Gaiden, Pac-Man, Double Dragon, Castlevania, Bubble Bobble, actually, I'm going to have to go with that game was probably up there in the favorites. I didn't think it was going to be.
Oh, I love Bubble Bobble. That song gets stuck in your head, man. As soon as you hear it, man, you're going to go all day with that Bubble Bobble theme in your head.
One thing I really appreciate about this system was the difficulty of the games is very, very, like, what am I trying to say here? There's a lot of variance in the difficulty,
okay.
Such as, like, I really liked Kirby,
mm-hmm.
because it's a ridiculously easy game. So if you wanted, you know, one of your kids to sit down and play a game on here, Kirby's a really good one. It's pretty easy. And then they turn around and they got games like Ninja Gaiden on here, which you're just going to hate life if you try to beat that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Ghouls and Ghosts is probably one of the hardest games ever. And it's on this thing as well. So yeah, you're right. I mean, they have games in here that are very simple, easy to play, and they have ones that are challenging as well. They hit all the spectrums very well. And if you think about it, there's like pretty much every genre represented here as well. Yeah. I mean, you even have sports games with Tecmo Bowl, you know, and Punch-Out.
And then Dr. Mario.
Yeah, so you got your puzzle games, you got your RPGs with Zelda and Star Tropics, and you got your platformers with the Marios. I mean, you got all
Super
that stuff.
Super C, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Pac-Man and the original Mario Brothers with the arcade-style stuff. So they kind of, you can tell they tried to throw something in here for everyone. You know, if you're an older person and you just remember playing Pac-Man, you know, and Donkey Kong in the arcades, you know, they have those here for you. If you grew up with Mario and Zelda, they have those here for you. If you're someone who's never, you know, played an NES before, but you're a younger kid who grew up on the Wii, I mean, you can see all these big Nintendo franchises and how they started out by playing this thing. So that's actually a really great start for younger gamers who got into Nintendo later on. There's a lot of stuff here. Now, my personal favorites, man, I'm a huge fan of Bubble Bobble. Obviously, I love Bubble Bobble. Mega Man 2 is the best Mega Man game in the franchise, so they have that here. And I'm actually shocked that they put Star Tropics on here. Star Tropics is it's sort of a Zelda clone, but it was made by Nintendo. And it's one of my favorite and most memorable NES games. Now, there's a huge fan base that follows it, but Nintendo just kind of acts like this game never existed. And it's very strange. It even got a sequel later on in the NES's life, and I actually own both games, full box copies. I love them. But, you know, Nintendo just kind of neglected them. But they actually added it in here, and I'm actually really happy that they did that, because if I'm going to replay this game, it's going to be on the NES Classic due to the ease of use and how good it looks while I'm playing it.
I think I smell a future episode in that game.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we need to cover that one. It's a great game. But yeah, I mean, they have stuff like that here. And, I mean, Final Fantasy. I mean, that was awesome that they put that on there. And they have Galaga for the arcade fans. There's just something for everyone here. They did a really good job of picking the games for this. But there are some that I would have rather replaced with others. And there's a couple that are puzzling to me that they're not on here. Like, what are some games for you that you would actually like to take off and replace with something else?
I've never been a big fan of Dr. Mario.
Okay.
So I'd get that one off from there.
Yeah.
I'd say probably. I mean, I like Pac-Man and everything, but
you can get Pac-Man on just about everything.
Yeah, same.
I can
here.
Understand why they included it because people there really like Pac-Man, you know, especially older people. But I highly doubt I'm going to play Pac-Man on this. If I'm going to play Pac-Man, it's going to be that crazy anniversary edition they released a couple years ago on the Xbox 360 and stuff like
right.
that. That was just actually like more modernized.
But games I would have liked to see put on here. Like, can't believe they didn't put the first Metal Gear on here. What's up with that?
Yeah, they have a lot of Konami stuff on here too. So that would have been a good one.
And then Battletoads was one of my favorites. So I put that on there. And then Bomberman, whatever happened to him? He used to be huge back in my day.
I love Bomberman.
You don't hear anything about it. And then Bionic Commando, just because it's a great game.
Yeah, totally. Now, I actually agree with you with Battletoads. I think that would be a good one on here. One for me personally would be RC Pro-Am. I used to play that with my dad all the time, and I have a very large connection with that game just because me and my dad used to play it so much when I was a kid, and I actually still own the cartridge for that one. The problem with RC Pro-Am and Battletoads is that they're both were designed by Rare, and Microsoft owns them now. So they were on that Rare Replay collection on the Xbox One, but I don't think we're ever going to see them on anything like this just because Microsoft kind of owns them now. So I think they own those properties. For me, I think it's weird they didn't put Tetris on this.
Yeah, I mean, why would you put Dr. Mario but not Tetris? Yeah. That one kind of baffled me.
I think that they should take out Ice Climber or Balloon Fight.
I forgot about. Oh my god, that game was so stupid.
Yeah, like who likes Ice Climber or Balloon Fight? Like, I don't know anyone who likes those two games. Like,
Ice Climbers wasn't bad. It's kind of like co-op strategy in the early days.
Yeah.
So I can see why that one could be on there because there's not too many co-op strategy, like split screen or whatever you would consider that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that balloon one, you basically have balloons tied to you and you have to pop balloons of birds that are birds.
They're,
am I
they're
right?
They're dudes. They're like little like dudes with like sharp noses or something that'll pop your balloons.
And it's almost just like a mini game. And that's what it feels like.
It's like something that should be on a loading screen.
Yeah, right. Something like that.
Yeah, and to me, it was a Joust ripoff of the arcade classic Joust, where you're riding like the birds, and it plays almost exactly the same. I never cared for it. I don't understand why this would be on here. I don't know anyone who likes it. So I think they should have knocked off those two, and they should have put Tetris and then something like Marble Madness in there. Marble Madness is a big classic on the NES, and Tetris is just a no-brainer. Like, I could see me playing Tetris on this thing a lot when I get the urge to play Tetris, and the NES Tetris was great. One of the best versions of it. I think that was a huge loss on their end for not putting that in here. I also would have liked to see games like Maniac Mansion on here. I think that would be a fun one to revisit for people. Shadowgate would have been a cool one, too. Stuff like that. So I'm just bummed. But Tetris is just the real confusing one for me. I mean, I felt like that was a given, and it's just not here.
I bet there was a lot of debate over that, too, because, I mean, you can find Tetris on any mobile device, any games, like handheld gaming system.
Yeah.
It's a very, very common game. I bet you they at least considered it, though, because it is iconic, definitely.
Yeah, I'd like to see the list of games they considered for this thing, too. Like,
that would be very interesting. Yeah, me too.
I would like to see that, definitely. So, Justin, I'm going to ask you this question, man. Like, who do you think this product is for? Is this for, hardcore game collectors? I mean, who do you think they're aiming for with this thing?
The beautiful thing about Nintendo is that I find most of the time they are aiming at everybody.
Yeah.
Like you were saying earlier, there's my grandma was a huge, huge fan of Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah.
So older people, they have their puzzle games on here. And then if you like platform, who doesn't like a good platformer? You know what I mean? And then not to mention the graphics are so updated and nice that it feels like it's very geared towards people that just appreciate games in general, anyone and everyone.
Yeah, I'd say that's a good answer. For me, I mean, it could go with so many different groups. I mean, if you're a video game nerd like me and you're a collector and you like to collect this stuff, this is obviously a great collector's item to have.
Oh, yeah.
If you're someone who like I said earlier, has never gotten into classic Nintendo stuff, and you may have jumped in with the Wii or the GameCube or something, you'd like to see how all these franchises started, this is a great way to do that because they're all represented here.
And it's not like on the other console you have the oh, what's it called? Where you can buy the old school games on your
virtual
Wii.
Console.
Virtual console. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go through and pay individually for each of these games. They're all there for one pretty dang decent price.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree with you. It's a great way to get introduced to old school Nintendo.
Yeah. And just anyone who wants to get into gaming in general, like I could see me, because I have a toddler who's about to turn two next week. And, you know, when he gets interested in video games, this is something I would like for him to play because it's simple. It's a D-pad and two buttons. It's not confusion, you know? I mean, we even tried to get him to sit down and play this yesterday when we were playing around with this thing. And, I mean, he was kind of hitting buttons and stuff, but he really wasn't correlating that it was doing things on the screen. But I mean,
he stayed alive. That's the important
yeah.
part. We came back in one of the games, and he was standing on top of an enemy's head, not taking damage. The timer was running out, so
yeah.
he hit a button.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So, I mean, this is a good way to introduce people to video games, too, like younger kids. I think this would be a great way to have them start. And just anyone who likes 80s nostalgia stuff. I mean, if you want to display this thing next to your model of your Back to the Future DeLorean or something, you know, if you're a big fan of the 80s, I think this is a great thing just to have for that as well. And the box art for this thing is just totally channeling the 80s. Has the wireframe, like kind of neon colors and stuff like that. They even put a poster in the box that is a classic poster from back in the NES days. And I actually want to get this thing framed and put it in my room, my little computer room here, because it's really cool. So they're definitely channeling those 80s nostalgic people too here. But like you said, man, I mean, this thing's just kind of for everyone. And you can tell it's for everyone because people are going nuts over this thing. They're running around trying to find it, and it's really hard to find. The only reason I got one, because I couldn't find one either, all of my co-hosts from the Gaming Outsider knew I really wanted one. And Scott, who's been on the show several times, actually just hit F5 repeatedly on Walmart's website when they were rumoring to have more. And he was actually able to snag one. And they all pitched in. They bought this for me as a gift, which, you know, thank you guys out there. I really, really appreciate you doing that for me.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Man.
And that's how I got one. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't even have one of these right now. So it's that hard to get a hold of. So I want to ask you, Justin, is this thing worth $60, and is it worth trying to pursue one of these this holiday season, or do you think people are better just to wait until more quantities pop up?
I'd definitely wait because, you know, with supply and demand, you're going to have inflation. I've even heard rumors of stores are going to start increasing the price of these. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
But it's the best multi-game console that has ever been invented. So it's going to be a while. Remember when the Wii came out, they were really hard to find. It's going to be a while. So, if you choose to wait, you're going to be waiting probably a while, but if you don't choose to wait, the hunting may have you pull your hair out. So I'm not really sure what to recommend on that one.
Yeah. I mean, if these are, you know, 30-year-old games. I mean, maybe not quite 30 years old, but, you know, they're old games. And a lot of people who are big collectors may already have an NES and a lot of these games. I do. You know, I primarily wanted one of these just for collector's purposes because I thought it was cool. But I'm actually playing mine quite a bit. But if I recommend it at $60, absolutely. This is a no-brainer. It's definitely worth $60. You get a lot for your money here.
I would pay upwards of even $100 for it personally.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Zach on a Gaming Outsider said, too. He goes, Nintendo was stupid for not charging $100 for this thing because people would have paid for it. You know, now, I don't think it's quite worth $100. If they would have thrown a wireless controller in there, maybe 35 games, maybe $100. But I think $60 is a sweet spot for that thing, and it's a really good deal. Now, if you should actually hunt this thing down, no. I think you can wait. After Christmas, these things will probably be sitting on shelves, really easy to get a hold of. It just depends on Nintendo and how they feel this thing is going to take up shelf space. Like, if they foresee this thing sitting on store shelves a lot, they may limit the quantities of this thing, and they may not flood the stores with them after Christmas. You know, they may continue to be difficult to find. I don't know. I mean, Nintendo always kind of creates this false hype and these false, you know, shipping numbers to where they ship things out in very small quantities to make hype for these things. And that's what they did with the Wii U, and it absolutely worked for them. I feel like that's kind of what's going on here. But don't go on eBay and pay ridiculous prices for this thing.
Yeah, no.
Because those people are just trying to make a buck off of you. That's not what – you should spend $60 on this, because that's how much it costs, and it's a good value for $60. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for that thing. Don't support a scalper. It's not worth it. Those scalpers should be sitting on these things and regretting purchasing them, because you should only pay $60 for this thing. So if you can't find one in the store, I highly recommend waiting until you can get a hold of one. I say after Christmas you should be fine. But yeah, don't fight people over this thing for the holiday season. I think you're cool waiting. So
don't throw a bow or anything.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm sure they'll be available after Christmas. You know, maybe even before Christmas they'll start popping up a lot. I don't know. But
that'd be nice.
Yeah, it's a great thing to have, though. Trust me. I really highly recommend purchasing this thing, but it's not worth the struggle. You know, I wasn't going to struggle over one. I was just going to wait till after Christmas until I got hooked up with it. So, all right. So let's look at some current pricing trends. Yes, this thing has pricing trends. yeah, I mean, it retails at $60 if you can find one sitting in a Walmart or a Best Buy or Amazon or whatever. If you look at this thing up on eBay, this thing's going well over $200 right now. I could have easily flipped this thing and made a big profit off of it if I wanted to. But obviously, I'm not going to do that because A, it was a gift, and B, I actually wanted this to keep. I didn't want to sell it. So I'm actually really enjoying this thing a lot. If you're looking on eBay, though, yeah, I mean, I'm seeing anywhere from $200 to $280 for this thing. And they're selling at that price, too. So that is crazy. I'm seeing them under $200, too. But they're floating around $180 up to $280. So if you must have one of these things right now, do be aware that that's around the price range you're going to pay for it on eBay and stuff like that. Now, third-party sellers on Walmart.com and Amazon.com, they're charging up to $150 to $200 for it as well. So anyone that's a third-party seller is selling this thing for that much, and that's ridiculous. You shouldn't have to pay that much for this. So I highly recommend just holding off until Nintendo ships more, because they will. They should. I wouldn't see this as being a big rarity or anything, but only time will tell. I don't really know what Nintendo's plans are with this. All right, now before we close this, Justin, I want to ask you a question here. Would you like to see this with a Super Nintendo or an N64 version?
I would probably wait in line all night for a Super Nintendo version, yeah. But that was one of my all-time favorite systems, yeah. For sure.
I could see me definitely fighting a dude for an N64 one. Yeah,
I mean, I would want to see the game list first, because there's like over 1,100 games for the Super Nintendo. Yeah. So there's, you know, a very wide selection that could go on that. And if they put on Monopoly, I'd probably pull my hair out.
Yeah, definitely Bubsy.
Yeah, right.
You would be happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I hope they continue this. I mean, obviously, this product is a huge success. And I hope they do it with the Super Nintendo next. I'd love $30. I wonder if they would charge more for it, though, if it was Super Nintendo, because the games are kind of worth a little more on Super Nintendo, especially with the N64. So I'm really curious to see how this goes in the future. But, man, I mean, Nintendo's on a roll right now, man. They're you know, they hit it out of the park with Amiibos. And, yeah, I mean, okay. I know the Wii U was a huge failure, but the 3DS was doing great. They're selling tons of those for Black Friday, those $99 ones. So, you know, I have hopes for the Nintendo Switch. You know, I hope it's going to be a good console. I hope they're smarter with it this time, and I hope Nintendo gets back on track, because I miss them being a big player in the video game industry.
I was actually very shocked when someone said that there's a new console out, and it has 30 games on it for $60, and it's worth it.
Yeah.
That was a big shock to me, because I've bought so many of them crappy consoles with 5,000, I think the Atari I had 600 and some games on it, and they were all the same game with different graphics.
Yeah, they're just
instead
rip-offs.
Of a dude, it's a, yeah.
See, that's what the Genesis one does. It says there's 80 games on it. They have maybe 30 Genesis games, and the rest of them are like homebrew crappy ripoff games. So
see, and that's what sadly what most people have come to expect from a product like this.
Yeah.
And Nintendo definitely saw a window and did it right. And I'm excited. I hope we see a Super Nintendo one, and who knows, maybe even like you said, a Nintendo 64 one.
Oh, you see a little mini GameCube. That'd be sweet.
Oh, but
put it in your really pocket, cute. It has a little handle on it and everything. That'd be awesome.
I would. I know it's not related, but I would want my mine to look like a miniature companion cube.
Yeah, there you go. Draw little hearts on it and everything.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that'd be awesome. All right, so that'll be it for this episode of Retro Reminisce. Justin, thank you for sitting and playing this thing with me, man, this weekend, and talking about the NES Classic with me. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for schooling me in Bubble Bobble.
Yeah, that game's so good, man. It's so much fun. Tune in next week where we'll be revisiting a new retro game. Head on over to thegamingoutsider.com for more and email us at feedback@thegamingoutsider.com if there's any game that you would like for us to cover or just to give us any general feedback on the show. We hope to see you next time, and as we leave, I would like to remind you all to visit your local retro shop, grab a golden oldie, game like 1989. See you next time.
Bye.